Live from Africa and to the rest of the world, this is CII Radio. Independent, authentic, and dedicated to you.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of Bumper to Bumper. It's Friday and the start of the weekend. We're live from Pretoria. My name is Jamil Ismail. And as per usual, I've got Ziad with me in studio and we have Lucky hitting all the right buttons in Johannesburg. Ziad, assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Jamil. I am good, alhamdulillah. And how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How's your week been? You know, this is always like a little bit of a catch-up session, you know, when we start the show.
It's been a busy week.
Yeah.
I started off on the track with the Audis.
Did you do all of them? They started from the RS3 all the way to the R8, basically, right?
Yeah, but we didn't get to test the R8.
Okay.
So that was the lead car. But they had the entire RS range.
Right. Okay.
So like you said, from the RS3 right up to the R8. Mm. So I got a chance to test the RS3 Sportback and Sedan.
Okay, okay.
The RS4 Avant.
Lovely. Ultimate Dead Mobile.
And the RS7 Sportback Performance.
Okay. Tell me, was it that really stunning blue?
Yes, it's okay. Like a matte.
I love that color. It's just so sick.
That's why I chose it.
Okay.
Because I just saw it, and it was between that and the RS6 Avant Performance.
Okay, okay.
And I was like, I wanted the RS6, but then I was like...
But also, you can... So tell me something, firstly. The RS4, right?
Yes.
Only available in an Avant, for those people who don't know, a station wagon.
Yes.
How does it feel? How does it drive? Does it feel like a bulky station wagon?
It doesn't really. I didn't feel that it was... like you carrying that extra bit of station wagon. I mean, it's just a little bit extra than your normal A4 sedan.
Okay.
And I mean, because it's got the power, you don't really feel it.
And the 0 to 100 is like blitz, right?
All of them.
Yeah. The RS3 is like something. Like it'll throw you back.
I think we should actually talk about the RS3. Mm. The reason why I'm saying this is because we always talk about Mercedes-Benz, BMW. So we've got the, obviously, if you want to compare the M2, I would think, with
yes.
the RS3.
Yes.
And then the A45S.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've driven the A45S. Mm. You know what that thing is like. The M2, we haven't had a chance to...
No.
But we've seen all the statistics and everything.
But also we've been invited to drive it, but we didn't go.
So we should.
We should definitely do that.
And you should drive the RS3 as well.
So I've driven an RS3.
Have you?
So one of my very close friends owns one. And, you know, to be honest with you, when you asked me, like, we were talking about, like, what vehicles, I said, listen, at the price where this car is situated, squeeze a little bit more and go M4. So I'm, like, very rear wheel.
Okay.
Bias, right? And let me tell you, this
but
thing
it's
has drift
a different,
mode.
A different
no, league. it's different league, but in terms of price wise, so the way he spec'd it, he was like pretty close to a M4.
Okay, so what did he put on?
So he's got like every single optional extra, literally. He's also got this like imported body kit for it.
Okay.
But he imported it through Audi.
Okay.
Absolutely amazing, beautiful looking vehicle. But yeah, so I was like always like, okay, let's look at that, or maybe even a C43 or you know, something along those lines. And look, I did tell him you're not gonna go wrong with the Audi. It's not gonna be a bad vehicle. It's just my personal preference. I take an M4. And when he brought it, he told me, listen, I took the Audi, right? And he didn't tell me initially, he phoned me, he's like, come outside. And I see this thing and it's absolutely stunning. Got it in, you know, the dark grey.
Right.
And I drove it in. This thing is...
Is it the Sportback?
He's got the sedan.
The sedan,
yeah.
Okay.
He's got three kids.
Okay. But even the Sportback is not...
Okay, so me personally, I take the Sportback. I like how it looks. It looks like a little... So I have a thing, right? For years, I actually love Audi station wagons. And I think it was like back in 2006, my father was looking to buy... Well, he did end up buying an A4. You know that RS4 shape, the first one? And I wanted a station wagon. I told him, like, take the station wagon. I loved how it looked. It's just so cool. I do, like till now, like, do you know, like overseas, you get a C63 Wagon, and you get it's amazing, E63 Wagon. It's just so
But
nice.
even the you get an M5.
Yes. Yeah.
What's it, Touring?
Touring. Yeah.
Touring. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool because you have like all this power and practicality.
Yeah.
So perfect family vehicle.
Yeah. So your thoughts on the RS3 after you drove it?
No, I love it. Like, I really do. It's so nice. And like, once you like really get into it and the different driving modes and like to see how much the car does or doesn't do for you is quite impressive. What did you think?
So obviously we didn't get to test it outside of the track, but on the track,
no, but on
it's
the
a
track is
proper
we, yeah.
track car.
Mm-mm-mm.
I mean, that thing is like the perfect package.
And it's at Kyalami, right?
Yeah.
So the nice thing is you've driven quite a few performance cars at that same track. And
yes.
How did it like compare to, say, for example, the A45 SL43?
But that's what I'm saying is that I think it's like a perfect track car. It's just like, it's for me, it's very underrated because, like you said a couple of weeks ago, we don't have that RS culture here in South Africa, a big enough RS culture. I mean, there is people that buy it. And I mean, we've got the full range now. Audi's brought the full range of RS. But I mean, head to head, I would like to see them. I mean, price wise, there's like 100,000 rand difference.
Yeah.
Engine wise, what are we looking at? That's a 2.5 liter TFSI.
Yes.
The
2 liter
turbo on the A45, but the thing, the M2 is 3 liter.
3 liter, yeah.
Yeah. Then, I mean, 0 to 100, I think that does about,
I would say like 3 point something.
I think it's 3.8 or 3.9.
Sure, okay.
And it's competing with the other two because I think the A45 was 4. Is it 4? Is it sub?
I think there's the special edition is slightly quicker.
Okay.
Remember they crammed in like another, I think was it 15 or 25 kilowatts or something.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're looking at that, let me just actually check the specs. Then I'll tell you right now, right on air. So we've got 3.8 seconds as the RS3, 4.1 seconds the M2. And 3.9 seconds is the A45.
So let me tell you, right? I understand whatever you said, like the importance of it.
Yeah.
But for me personally, like I'm talking from a personal thing, it might not be right. I don't care what the papers say. It's how that feels. So let me tell you, right? It's a simple thing of like, I'm like if I buy a vehicle, right? I'm not gonna drive it on the track always. So I don't care about like split seconds and whatever. So for me, that's why I always said like the M2, I would take a M2. The new one is a little iffy. I've still not wrapped my head around that front end and whatever. But like, for example, the old one, the competition, I love that vehicle. It's absolutely, have you driven one of those?
No, I haven't.
Amazing. I mean, it's like a real driver's car. Like you feel his back stepping out every time. Like you can't be too early on the accelerator through a bend. Like you need to like. Now I know with the Audi, it's really forgiving. You can chuck it into a corner. You can accelerate, and the lights start flashing and doing things for you.
But
so,
talking around the bends, that thing holds.
Yeah.
It like holds seriously. I was very impressed by it.
Okay. Well, what is your favorite model for that day, though?
So it's tough because the RS3 definitely I would say is a perfect package, but I had a lot of fun in the RS7 performance.
And
like
it's obviously
a
big
of
vehicle,
fun.
Right?
Yeah, and you don't feel it, like it glides on the track.
And what is it like around the bends? Is it like tire screeching type of thing?
No,
like planted.
I mean, if you're driving it properly, I mean, you can screech any tires
depending
on how you take the corner. But I mean, like you can sit on the corner at 150 and you're like, okay.
Okay.
The thing's got a lot of power. It's a V8, I think, 4 liter.
Yeah. Turbo also.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. So,
I mean, that was the last for the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to start it again next year.
But wait, tell people what this course costs.
It's 9,500 rand.
For one day.
For a whole day. But it's not just, like, they train you.
Mm-hmm.
They teach you everything about driving a performance car. So even if you're not driving an Audi, you go there and you learn how to drive a performance car. Like, everything you need to know.
Honestly, I think this is not just Audis, right? Mercedes-Benz has it with dynamic driving. BMW, is it VW? I honestly think that if you know someone who's a petrolhead, this is like probably the best gift you can give them. I know it's pricey, especially Audis at 9.5. But
Audis, but I think they are like the cheapest.
Really?
I think the others are quite expensive.
Don't joke. Yeah. I think the last time I checked, I think AMG was sitting on like 6.5 or something.
How many years ago was that?
Sure. Must have been a while. But also, I think this is the only one that lets you go through all the models, right?
Yes. So normally what they do is they give you one car to go. So say like for AMG, for example, mm-hmm. Well, they used to, I don't know what it is now, but I know if you wanted to go for their advanced driving academy or whatever it was, they would say, okay, choose a car. So you want to go in the C43, you want to go in the A45S, and that's your car for the day. Then you go on the skid pan and whatever it is. But with Audi, they've got the full fleet. So you go through all the cars through the whole day.
You know, 9,500 sounds like a lot, right? But firstly, it's fuel. It's wear and tear. These vehicles, tires and stuff is like really expensive. It's the track usage. And then, like you say, it's the course content as well. So it's really...
But at the end of the day, you've had enough track. That's... No, seriously, it's a lot that they give you.
Yeah.
And I mean, we actually finished at like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. We didn't even have a full day. We had the media package.
Okay. The budget.
For everybody else, they have a full day.
Okay. Okay.
So it's something to look at. I mean, go online and just check it out.
What is it called? Audi Driving Experience.
Audi Driving Experience, ADE. Yeah.
Okay. So check it out if that's something that you into, but I honestly think it's something very well worth it. Whether you're an Audi fan or not, it's invaluable information that you get. And, you know, it's actually quite nice because, especially with men, right, we all think we're the best drivers. So now you got someone saying, listen, I'm going to teach you how to take this bend. And like, in your mind, you're like, I can do this. And we know from the Alpha course how much, like, you're actually doing incorrectly or not, like, you're not driving optimally,
yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But other news this week, Ford dropped quite an extensive list of models and changes and stuff. But we're going to talk about that after the air break. It's now 7:20, lucky air break. When we come back, let's talk about Ford, all the new models that they're bringing next year and the year after, and yeah.
CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Jamil and I were just talking about the Audi driving experience, and now we are going, Jamil's actually going to tell us about Ford's new Range. Ranger or Range?
Well, a bit of both, because firstly, there's a whole lot of new models that we are due to expect, right, from 2024 to 2025. Some of them brand new, some of them a bit of a return, and others are vehicles that we know, but like derivatives of it. So it seems to me like quite a nice money-making scheme to have all these different derivatives because it's all the same platform, right? And then you just like different guises. But anyway, new models is obviously the Puma,
okay.
The Mustang.
Have you seen the Puma?
So I've seen pictures of it. I haven't seen it in person.
I've seen one day I was driving and I actually saw two on the road.
Yeah. How does it?
It looks okay.
Fiesta vibes.
But I mean, like, it's 500,000.
Yes, it's crazy for, like, I mean, the size.
It's like a 500X, Fiat 500X. Is it in that range?
I think so.
But I've only seen the outside. I haven't seen the inside. I haven't driven it, so I don't know what it's like.
Okay. And then we've got the Mustang Mach-E, which is, it will be new to South Africa, but it's actually been around. In fact, I think the model we're getting, it's not even going to be the one that's in the pictures because it's due for a facelift or something. I think it came out in 2021, if I'm not mistaken. So I think facelift is due in there.
The one that looks like a cross of a Jaguar. And
yeah, it's basically...
What is the other car? Can't think of it now. But it's like a cross between two cars.
It's like an SUV. Like, it's everything a Mustang isn't. Except for quick, it's very quick. If I'm not mistaken, I think the 0 to 100 is also under 4 seconds, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
Okay.
Then we've got a vehicle that I really like, the seventh generation of the Ford Mustang. It looks the part. It's going to drive the part. And again, another special edition is, I think it's called the Dark Horse Edition or something. Mm-hmm. Very limited run. You know how Ford does this. So worthwhile investment if you've got that kind of money laying around.
How much will it be?
So they haven't given actual figures, but like sales figures. But you're looking at like 372 kilowatts. And yeah, so that's second quarter of 2024. Then I said the Mach-E. And then a vehicle that we know and love, well, I love, the Ford Ranger. There's going to be two new derivatives, right? So the first one being like a very luxury titanium model. And the other is a very off-road focused. It's called the Tremor.
Okay.
Those are the two. And then a vehicle, I don't know if you remember this, but a few years ago, there was a Ford Territory.
Yeah, I remember it.
I actually liked it. Yeah. It had like a very American SUV wagon style. Yeah. So we'll be getting a new Territory.
Okay. So what generation is that?
Yeah, for us, it would be second. I don't know in terms of Ford. Yeah, we only had one. Or two. Oh, no, two. Yeah, you're right. No. It's one. Because I'm confusing it with the... Do you remember the first Everest? How different they were compared to these ones.
They look like a patrol.
Yeah, it looked like an India like SUV.
It looked like the last generation, well, not this next gen, the one before that. The one before that was the one you're talking about, and it looked very different.
Okay. And then, you know what? Why are we talking about Bucky's, right? Okay. There's no guess what's the top selling Bucky, right, in South Africa for October 2023?
The Hilux.
Of course. Number two is
the Ranger.
Right. Okay. This is where it starts getting interesting because it's just Bucky, so not double cabs, right? What do you think the third most sold Bucky in South Africa is? And it's very close to the Ranger. I didn't realize it. I mean, I don't feel like I see so many.
The P-Series.
No, the Isuzu D-Max.
Is it?
Yeah. It's only like 400 and somewhat units away per month, right?
This figures for October.
October 2023. Nissan NP200.
Yeah.
Very big jump down. Fifth, the Mahindra pickup.
Interesting.
Yeah, so obviously that's the old Karoo, and you know, I think that vehicle is doing wonders for them. And why I say that is I'm seeing more of them on the road.
But I can tell you from the content we put on YouTube, it's like that thing gets a lot of traction. There's a lot of engagement. People are talking, asking about.
What do you think it is about?
I don't know. It's just like people are attracted to it for some.
I think there's like a very almost like retro Bucky styling and feel compared to like, I mean, all the new Buckys are basically SUVs with the bin, you know? So maybe it's that.
But it's well priced also.
Well priced, and I assume they're very strong vehicles.
Yeah, they are.
They look like they're strong vehicles.
But the Mahindras are like even the Scorpio N.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen people where they take those things to, so.
Yeah. Have you had the Karoo yet?
Yes, I had.
Okay. Sixth place. So this particular Bucky is like one of my favorites. And honestly, if I was spending my money, I think I'd end up with a Navara.
Is it?
Yeah. I like it. Firstly, it's not as risky as a Ranger and a Hilux. It's not as common as a Ranger and a Hilux. It's as practical. It's gorgeous. It looks absolutely stunning. It's like so like muscular and like angular in its look. And then it's practical. It comes in at it's not a cheap price, but it's reasonable. I mean, compared to the Hilux and if I'm not mistaken, I think CMH in Midrand have a special edition actually.
Okay.
It's raised suspension, upgraded suspension. So the same way, like, you know, Australia, in the Hilux, right? I don't know if you saw this. They have an edition called the Rugged X. So it's got all, like, you know, your snorkel, all of these things. It comes like stock standard from Nissan.
Okay.
With all these changes, I think it has like an aluminium canopy. It's really a nice looking vehicle. In seventh place is the VW Amarok. Have you driven it?
Not the new one.
Okay.
The old one. And I found that in terms of, we actually tested it out at Gerotech.
Okay.
And it's actually much lower. It scraped when we went over one of the, you know, like obstacle courses.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the others just went over perfectly.
But also, let's be serious, right? The Amarok doesn't really go off-road, right?
Not for the people who buy it.
Yeah.
And the modifications they do to it.
Exactly. In eighth place is P-Series.
Yeah, P-Series, I've seen quite a lot on the road recently.
Right.
My take on it is very Bucky-like. And
I know it struggles with turbo leg. Right?
Yes, very, very much.
Okay.
So if you want to, like, say you're stuck at a traffic light and you're turning left, wait for all the cars to go before you decide that you want to.
Midway.
It doesn't even, like, you like crawling across, and then when you're on the other side, then it decides, okay, right, let's put the turbo in now.
But it's kind of funny, because I remember when turbo was, like, I won't say a new thing, but like kind of you found it like more often in passenger vehicles and Buckys, you'd find a lot of that. But they've refined it, like, I mean, Ford, VW, these guys have refined it to a point where you don't even feel when it's coming in, you know. It's just, it's like linear power, like, throughout.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that leaves us with the last two. In ninth position, the reason why we have global warming is Land Cruiser.
Okay.
79.
Yeah.
Another thing, right? If I made sick money, like, I'd just have one just for fun.
Just for fun.
Yeah, even in that brown color.
You would wear a safari suit.
Stop profiling me. You wouldn't.
I don't know. Land Cruiser has never been my first option.
No, okay, that's what I'm saying, not first option, like, it's parked in the garage, like, you know, if you want to take a random trip that you think, like, ordinarily would cost you, like, a trip to Cape Town, I'm almost certain it will be, like, no joke, maybe 10 grand.
With the Land Cruiser?
Yeah.
Probably.
Like a V8 Land Cruiser.
But that you have to go, like, Bundabashing.
You have to, they're so capable and so strong. But yeah, and then lastly, 10th. Is the GWM Steed.
Okay, we always forget about that.
Mm. But I mean, they made it into top 10, so...
So there's two of them in the top 10, so that's quite an achievement.
It is, but the funny thing about the Bucky sales is it, like, goes in, like, this way, right? So it's, like, 99 units, then it's, like, 100 units, 200 units, and then all of a sudden, 1,400. So, like, the gap between them is... Like, the top three, or let's say the gap between the top four, is large, like, it's a big jump,
but it's a very competitive space.
Extremely
so competitive, they kicked the X-Class out of that space.
Yep. I honestly think, like, people were not going to have a Navara dressed up in a Mercedes-Benz suit, and, like, I don't know what was the premium, I can't remember, but
the X-Class was like about 800,000, I think, at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Whereas at that
was
time,
like, 5 years ago.
Exactly. And at that time, I think the Navara was, like, probably hovering around the 560, 570 mark. So you're paying like 200,000 rand 5 years ago for the same Bucky. Yeah. What a nice infotainment and interior.
It was nice, but I didn't see it taking off. I wasn't surprised when they said that they pull in.
But you know what's funny? Indian people only started buying Buckys after we passed the million rand mark.
What do you mean?
Indian people were never into Buckys. Yeah, if you had like a farm or you had like a factory or something. The moment we made an Amarok V6, we had the X-Class, we had the, you know, like these premium ones. Now Indian people were like,
no,
okay.
No, but in Durban it was like a big thing.
But in Durban, you guys used to do everything opposite. So you take a Bucky and then you put those big wheels on it and it's like, it's no more Bucky. Like, it just...
No, and you have to have that steel bin and...
Okay, no, I get what you're saying.
But what's surprising about that list is what's missing from there?
Land Truck.
Yes.
For sure. I like that Baki, man. Oh, I don't know. I like it.
But they're using it in, I think, SAPS or...
Yes,
SAPS. JMPD. Is it SAPS?
SAPS.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they got Landrex. But then they also, like, I don't understand, like, who chooses these vehicles? Isn't it like a job for us? Can't we be the ones to choose? I'm not saying we make the money or, you know, we orchestrate the whole deal. Just like, which vehicles should go to which departments? Like, for example, if you were in charge of this, right? High speed, what vehicles would you buy? Let me answer it for you quickly. BMW 340. Right,
but they have them.
They have them, but I'm saying it's the right vehicle. For
right,
you, right. If you're looking at, for example, you know, you get like SAPS Rural.
Yeah.
So, what vehicle would you give them?
They have to have some sort of Baki.
So, which Baki would it be?
I don't know.
You have to think about it.
Yeah. What is it? Since you're in charge of this department,
procurement. I don't know. Let me tell you, right. I don't know if you see this SAPS, they're like these new, I don't know, it says something Warden, I don't know what.
Oh, yes.
They've got like BMs, like nice ones.
3 series.
NX3s or 1s, I can't remember.
Yeah, they had a whole thing here in Pretoria when they handed it over and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if some of it
is. So if you want a job, they're always looking for people.
Isn't it like a 6-month thing? Or?
I'm not sure. It's like an internship. But talking about the Landtrek, when we had the Landtrek, we took it down to Durban last year. And on the way down, because it was like still brand new, and I think it was the only one on the road, like the cops were just pulling us over just to see the vehicle.
But also,
so they were already in love with this, so they were already putting it on their wish list that this year they would get it.
So let me tell you, right, I actually enjoyed the drive on the Landtrek. I think it's a very understated vehicle and it's very well priced. I do feel that the Peugeot badge doesn't suit that body style for some reason. Like it doesn't work. And I think like once it starts like, you know, like settling in your mind, I think it'll do much better sales wise. But would you buy one? Like, would you spend your own money buying one?
I probably would. The reason why it's not high risk, and like you said, it's a very comfortable drive. So, I mean, we drove it all the way to Durban and back, and it was, like, perfect.
So, you know this thing with the Bakis and the high risk, right? I think there was a point where people thought, it wouldn't happen to me, so you just carry on. So, one of our clients has a Hilux. Can I tell you something? The Hilux has gotten stolen from him, like, stolen 3 times.
I can imagine.
So his wife has a Golf, I think it's a Golf 6, right? He says that when they go to certain places, like if it's like Joburg Town, they don't use the Hilux, they use the Golf. He's telling me he's trying to like get it swapped out and get rid of it because it's just so high risk, like he can't use it, like he can't make use of a vehicle that he bought.
Well, the guy that handles the press fleet for Toyota, he has a Hilux. And his daughter went to one of the embassies in Pretoria. She parked it outside the embassy, went in, and she forgot something in the car. She came out, and it was gone. Fortunately, I mean, because they handle the press fleet, they had a tracker. They tracked it down within seconds.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is how quickly she literally went inside, and she realized she forgot something. She came out, and it was gone. So that's how high risk. When we're talking about high risk.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's weird because you get people who say that there's special parking for Hilux. Like, you know, the security guards would say, no, park your car here. Don't leave it out, you know. But it's crazy because I think at a certain point, I mean, we knew that a Vivo was high risk. We knew that GTI as well.
And we still got them.
We still got them. We're like, it's not going to happen to me. I'm home by my time. So... Yeah, but I think a Hilux is like an actual, and it's dangerous. Like, I don't know if you've seen some of those videos where they like hijack people.
It's stressful. I don't think I could put myself through that trauma of driving one of those. Seriously, even when we get like press, like the Rangers and whatever, like I'm on high alert because I already know. Like,
I wonder, just for interest sake, has a press vehicle ever gotten stolen? Like in the like.
Could be. Hopefully not. This inshallah it never happens to us. But yes. I think let's go for a break now, and then when we come back, we can continue this discussion.
CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. This evening, we were talking all about the Bucky sales, high-risk vehicles, advanced Audi driving experience. And now we're in the last, 15 minutes of the show?
It's the final lap.
The final lap. And to end off, well, not to end off, but in this part of the show, I wanted to ask the question, when was the last time anyone has bought a car from a brand dealership? So if you're buying a VW, buy it from a VW dealership, or Mercedes from Mercedes dealership. I've noticed a lot on social media when people get new cars, it's from like dealerships like your DigiCars or Motors or, you know, something, Auto Pedigree, Faro. It's dealerships that have, what do we call, not used, pre-owned, pre-loved cars. Not new cars, but even sometimes it's new because, I mean, they have such low mileage. And then if you see cars on the road, I've noticed their backing plates also are not like VW Bruma or whatever it is,
yeah.
You know. So when was the last time, Jamil, when was the last time, have you ever bought from a dealership?
Never.
Never?
Never.
What I've is never. The reason?
I don't know. I don't think it was a specific reason. I think it was just like where I was getting a deal on whatever vehicle I was looking at. I won't lie to you, I do prefer to purchase from, call it a vehicle dealership. So like an Inspectica, CMH, you know, like something that you can go back to with an issue, you know. If it's like a play around toy type of thing or like a second vehicle, I think I'd like look at Marketplace and, you know, like those kind of like, you know, selling platforms. But as far as possible for your like daily driver, I don't know, maybe it's just a misconception on my part, because I know at the end of the day, a vehicle is as good as it's being looked after. So if you are buying something secondhand, I just feel like you'll have more like recourse if something goes wrong compared to an individual, you know.
Okay.
So that's the only reason why. But why not a dealership as such? I just haven't gotten a deal from them that I fancied for.
Okay, that's interesting. So we'd like to hear from the listeners, have they got good deals from actual dealerships? But on that note, Wheelie and We Buy Cars have really taken over the market.
Building they put up, Wheelie.
So in midstream Centurion, they literally 1.5 kilometers apart. The thing separating them is a Goldwagen. that's the building that's separating them.
But like
them.
Both of them have massive buildings.
So they are mega stores or warehouses or whatever they call. And I mean, we know that We Buy Cars took over the dome as well.
Yes.
So that's like a really big space. So obviously they're doing volumes.
So I can tell you. I don't know if you know, but there's like a lot of people who used to like kind of buy and sell cars. A lot of people did it on the sideline, like, you know. And I think what We Buy Cars and Wheelie have done have kind of obliterated those kind of, call it, second-hand car markets.
You say that, but these guys are actually buying from them. There's a guy that I know that gets his cars, I think it's from We Buy Cars, and he has a special contract to take the cars over the border, I think to Zimbabwe or somewhere. He gets it at such a good price.
Right.
And like premium vehicles, like he had a Porsche Macan the other day, BMWs, you know, like, so he's obviously getting a good enough deal from We Buy Cars and still selling it.
So I don't know how it worked, but you could like register as a dealer And like once a week, you get like an email with all the new stock they're in. But they were so aggressive in buying stock, they literally cleared out the stock. Like whatever was available, they just bought it, yeah. You know? And I think that's where the difference comes with Wheelie. So not too long ago during this year, I sold a vehicle.
Okay.
And just for interest sake, I mean, the advertising was all over. I went for an evaluation at Wheelie. And if I tell you the price that they offered me, and this is on a vehicle, right? So it's not just like, you know, like something small. It was almost half of what I actually got for the vehicle.
Is it?
Yeah.
So where did you sell it after?
So then I traded it in at the actual dealership. But even what's funny about it, the deal that they structured for me was based on a trade-in that of a vehicle I was going to take from Wheelie. So okay. All of this where they're basically like loading. So you know, in a car sale, there's a lot of places where you can add money, right? Your licensing. Yes. If you're doing a trade-in, you obviously now, you know, give the guy a slightly lower price there. You add a little bit onto the vehicle itself. So there's all these places where like you could add tens of thousands of rands. And I told him from the starting, listen, I'm not going to go like from year to year to year. There's a vehicle that he had that I liked. I was like, okay, I want this vehicle. Take my vehicle. Let's do a trade-in. I'll pay the difference and I want the other vehicle. And he was like, okay, they took the vehicle for a drive. They walked around it, two gentlemen. And he came back and he told me the price. And I was like, no, like this doesn't even sound right. Like, you know. And besides, I mean, I purchased the vehicle like 2 years before that. I mean, you know, depreciation. You're not going to literally do that to your vehicle. You know. You know, it's not a Maserati or something.
What was the book? Do you know what the book value was?
So I can't remember the exact values. I'm not like giving the actual values. But either way, I found another vehicle that I liked. I found that dealership. The dealership was called Auto Integrity. They're in Pretoria East. And the guy came. He did an evaluation of my vehicle. He said, listen, this is the sort of difference you're looking at. And that sounded reasonable. So, but literally, like I'm saying, it was almost half of what they offered me.
Sure. So I'd like to hear from the listeners if they've had any dealings with Wheelie or We Buy Cars.
What is your go-to to buy and sell a car? Is it like Facebook Marketplace? Is it?
So I've only been to actual dealers. So I've only bought the first car I got was obviously private sale, and then I sold it privately as well.
Okay.
But then thereafter, I went to McCarthy, Durban. I had a problem with Hoopers.
Okay.
It's a long story. We'll get into that in another show.
Okay.
So I got a car from McCarthy, Durban. I came up to Joburg. I got a car from Soweto VW. They gave me a really good deal on the Vivo.
Right.
And then I traded that car in at Barron's Woodmead. And they were giving me like the best deal for the trading.
Okay. So let me ask you something, right? So a lot of people don't know this, but you can negotiate your pricing. Yes. You can negotiate. You know, sometimes they get to a point where like, we can't do anything more with the price.
Yeah.
And then you can still say, okay, fine, throw in smash and grab.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so let's explain to the listeners. How do you go about? So you find the car you want, right?
Yes.
So I'm looking for interest sake or for argument's sake, a Polo Vivo.
Right.
How do you go about getting the best deal possible?
You walk out the shop and you make them run after you. No, it's all about if you've done enough research and you know exactly what you want and you know how much you're willing to pay, there is always going to be, even if it's not the first dealership that you go to, there's always a salesman that is willing
to. Are you the type to get a quote from you, take it to the next guy, blah, blah?
No. I mean, I'll shop around. But not in the sense that I'll go to every single dealership and ask them for a quote or a test drive or whatever. I do my research before. So if I know, like you say, I want a Polo Vivo, and that okay, so let me just tell you, that was the problem that I had with Hoopers.
Okay.
Was that I had spec'd the car exactly like I wanted. So it was a Polo hatch.
So you bought a brand new Polo?
Brand new Polo hatch, okay. Right? And it was a standard 1.4. But I wanted the then RS3 rims on it, right? I was going to purchase it from, I think, AutoStyle or whatever it is, get it delivered to them. They were going to put it on, you know, and everything else was supposed to be done by them, which was the central locking. They were going to put that pin, you know, gear pin.
Yes, yeah.
I was going to get a sunroof. Everything was spec'd. Mm-hmm. And at that time, they, I don't know if they still do it, but I paid a deposit, right? So I went there and they said, the car is here, I must come and see it and everything. Jamil, this thing didn't have, firstly, the sunroof. There was the stock standard 14-inch rims or whatever it was. They had aftermarket central locking. Mm-hmm. And the pin thing was like horrendous. Like it looked like somebody butchered the gear selector. And I'm like, no, I don't want this car. You know, like, give me my deposit back. And I walked out. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's Consumer Protection Act. You now, not then, but now more so. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so if you know exactly what you want. So then I went to McCarthy Durban and I told the guy, I've already been to Hoopers. I put on a deposit. I can give you the same deposit. I want this specific car. So he says to me, he has a blue one on the floor. I'm like, I don't want a blue one. I want this. It was gray. It was, the color was called Silverbird. Okay. It was a new color. It's outdone itself now. Everybody's got that color. But at that time, it was new. We're talking about like 15 years ago. Mm. And I said to him, I know exactly what I want. This is exactly what I want. I said, how long will it take? So he says they'll have to make it, because that time the sunroof was still a brand new thing, which Hoopers didn't mention, that I had to get it done from Germany because they were going to do it aftermarket again, another aftermarket fitment. So I said, I'll wait. And he gave me a good price on it, everything, discount, very good discount, threw in a couple of extras and whatever. And I was happy. Because I went there, obviously I went with a sob story. Right. But the thing is, if you get to know the salesman and they can provide you with what you're looking for, and you have to click with the salesman, because if you have a problem with the car, you need to go back to that salesman. Mm. Like when I bought the vehicle from Barron's Woodmead, it was also a Polo sedan. But this car didn't have the multifunction steering wheel because it didn't have the Bluetooth or anything. Mm. And I took the car back. I said to my guy, because he says to me, no, they can do it again. You know, the same story. Aftermarket. I'm like, how are you going to change the whole steering wheel? Aftermarket. So you have to have, you know, like a good relationship with whoever it is that you're buying the car from.
Yes, yes. Another question, right? If you see, for example, a vehicle marked at 350, now obviously it depends what vehicle and booking it. What sort of like discount can you expect? The vehicle is marked 350, it's a second-hand vehicle, you go there and you're like, okay.
The most you're going to knock on any vehicle is say 20 to maximum 30,000. You can't get 100,000 then off the vehicle. Sure. It's ridiculous. But it depends again on the type of vehicle. It depends on the mileage of the vehicle. There's a lot of things to take into account, because most of we're talking not like dealerships, but like you were talking about, you know, guys that sell the cars on the side, you're making 10, 20, 30K the most on a vehicle.
Well, also it depends like what price bracket. I mean,
no, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you can't expect that much of a discount, especially on a pre-owned. You might get it on a brand new vehicle, depending again on the dealership, how much they're willing to. I mean, some of them say we'll give you 70,000 rand cash back or whatever it is, that they actually hit the price up by 70,000. But I don't think, what do you think?
No, I also think so. Like I think it's right now car sales are very competitive, tight market. There was a time when people were like, oh, listen, if you don't want it, like, leave it. Someone else is going to walk in here in 20 minutes and buy it. Mm. I don't think we're at that stage. So prices are firstly competitive. Then also, like, dealership overheads are ridiculously high. I mean, you look at some of these dealerships. Look at Mercedes-Benz in Sandton. What do you think the operational cost for that dealership is a month?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So everything needs to obviously make business sense. And that's, I don't think they just, you know, like thumbsuck amount, or let's just add 50 grand onto this. Like, yeah. It has a lot more to do than just the book value of the vehicle.
So, no, definitely. And like you say, there's a whole lot of other costs involved. But you know where they actually make their money and they don't mind giving you a discount is if you finance the vehicle.
Yeah.
So if you go in there and you say you have 350,000 rand cash, and I come in there and I say I want to finance that vehicle, I'm going to get a better discount on the vehicle than you are.
Absolutely ridiculous, because the first time that happened, I bought a vehicle, and I thought if I said that, like, you know, that was my last tool in the negotiation. Price. Okay, and if I'm paying for it cash, he's like, oh no, I need to write this whole quote again, because this is not based on a cash price.
Yes.
So it was, yeah.
Yeah. No, you think that cash is king when you're going to buy a vehicle, but actually West Bank is making the most money.
Yeah.
They say it's like, I think probably like 80 to 90%, I'm not thumb sucking, but it's like quite a high number of vehicles on the road are actually financed by the bank.
I would say, well, way more than, like, it's like a very small percentage that's not.
Yeah.
I mean, firstly, if you drive on the road, like if you're on the highway, majority of the vehicles you're seeing around you are less than like 5 years old.
Yeah.
Even if it's a small car, whatever it is, it's less than 5 years old.
But what's your take on buying a pre-owned vehicle as opposed to new?
Because I'm for it. I mean, let someone else take the heavy knock. Yeah. Right? Like, honestly, I don't mind it at all. I prefer it. There is a very, like, special feeling in speccing your vehicle and buying it and, you know, like, waiting. And that's an amazing feeling. But also just buying a car is an amazing feeling.
No, so. But I think, you know, like you said, how much can you get a discount from? Now, if you're buying a premium car that normally costs 700,000 and you're getting it for 500,000 with, like, less than 20,000 on the clock,
That's literally your discount, because, I mean, you look at, like, certain X models, right, BMW X models. If you wait for 2 years, the vehicle, if you shop around, could have, like, maybe between 20 and 30,000 Ks. And like you're saying, it's literally 200,000 rand cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a substantial saving. So money tips on CII bumper to bumper.
Yes.
But that brings us to the end of today's show. I know it's been a great show. Thank you so much for making the effort, Ziad. I know you really battled some serious traffic today.
Yeah, there was a stationary vehicle on the N1 and there was a backlog. I think it took me about 1.5 hours to get to.
Sure. No, it's crazy. And that's how it is. Like, I mean, you've been doing this drive for like a few weeks.
Yeah.
And every week is a different situation. But yeah, that's how the roads are. But from us, there's Zain. Let us go, inshallah.
Have a safe week, inshallah. Buckle up. Remember the ummah in your du'as. And we will chat again next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.